What can we learn about God? You see it in your notes right there. And as far as God and what gifts he's given us and what Jesus has given to us, we'll look at that. And then we'll look at just through the Gospels of how Jesus lived a life of giving. And then we're going to talk about just some different things of how we apply that to our life and how we can live a life of giving. So point number one, what gifts did Jesus and God give to us? I love to quote a lot of Bible verses in Genesis chapter 2. In verse 7, it says, God breathed into them the breath of life, and man became a living being. So one of the things that we're thankful for is life. Amen? Our good friends became grandpas and grandma. Their first grandchild on Friday night. And Ellis and Victoria are really good friends with our son Luke and Caitlin. And so I already saw the pictures on Facebook with the little baby. But I know the grandparents are excited. When you have a baby that's born or a grandchild or a great-grandchild, whenever there's life, there's celebration. Amen? Well, that baby or grandchild for you is a celebration. You guys have added, about two or three in the last few weeks? Whatever, that's awesome to celebrate life. All right, but let's also celebrate the birth of Jesus, but let's celebrate our life. Let's go ahead and put up here. I asked Jenny to look this up during the week for me. How many heartbeats we have? We want a healthy heart when you think of how many times your heart beats in a day, amen? And 115,000 in one day, can you imagine that? All right, I'm hoping that after I'm done coaching 6 weeks of junior high basketball, that my heart is a little bit healthier because I'm going to exercise for 5 or 6 days a week for 6 weeks. So there's a chance that my heart might get a little bit healthier, amen? So in a day, in a week, you got that many. In a year, you got 42 million heartbeats. And if you live to be 80 years old, you got over 3 billion heartbeats. So you should be thankful for life, amen? God breathes into you the breath of life. Without God, you're not here. 1 minute from now, he's the one that gives you the heartbeat. He's the one that gives you the ability to breathe. So we should be thankful for life, and we should celebrate life. Amen? That's why we're pro-life. Amen? God is pro-life. All right? I could really get going political every single week. But anyway, if God's pro-life, we're pro-life, and we celebrate life. Amen? All right. So that's point, just what we can celebrate. Raise your hand or put the sign up when I need to slow down. All right. So today, as we continue to celebrate Christmas, let's talk about gifts and giving. We celebrate the birth of a baby Jesus. Even when I celebrate Christmas, though, I always go right to Easter because I remember his death and I remember his resurrection. So point number A there, God has given us physical life. Number two, he's also given us spiritual life. I'll get into that in point number three, but John 1:12, to as many as receive him, he gave the right to become his children. There's another one. You get to become a part of the family of God. You know, as a pastor, usually you guys know the rules. I've tried to educate you on the rules. When you have a party, pastor's always invited to the party. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So I went down to Montello to their Christmas party on Thursday night. I don't know what you had, about 25, whatever people they had. But they know how to throw a party, they know how to eat food, and they know how to celebrate each other. But we have spiritual life, amen. We have a spiritual family. Lynn asked all of them to share something that you were thankful for. And almost every one of them said how thankful they were for not only their physical families, but this family and their life group. You know, they do life together. They're connected. They're believers together. So we celebrate and are thankful for physical life, but spiritual life. John 17 and verse 3, it says, these things I write to you that you would know you have eternal life. You guys remember the day that you got born again? All right, I always share the date for you, so you know my date. It's July 31st, 1974. So that's quite a few years, amen? It's going to be, I think, going on, if I can do my math right, what is that? Is that 46 years or something? Well, it's more than that, whatever. You guys do the math. I'm sorry, I'm not going to stop to figure it out. But anyway, a long time ago, 12 years old, I received spiritual life. I was born again. I was born into the kingdom of God. God made me a new creature. He took out the sin nature, took out the wrath of God, and placed it with his righteousness and his nature and his life. So we should celebrate the different things that God has given us. He's actually given you all things that pertain to life and godliness because he's on the inside of you. And when you get him, you get everything that he brings. All right, so what else did God give us? So we got a heavenly family. I mentioned that with Montello. I had to ring the bell that day. Otherwise, I would have been at Marcia's Christmas party with her Bible study. I love to celebrate. Well, actually, I just like to eat food. Amen. All right. But I love to celebrate with you when you're celebrating each other. Amen. I'm really looking forward already. The whole month of December, I it's filled with excitement and anticipation because I get to see my son, I get to see Caitlin, I get to see my family, I get to see Deb's family, and I get, well, and different times I'm with you, amen? So we get the aspect of family. Sometimes your earthly family, for whatever, might not be as nice or good or whatever it is, but hopefully we have a spiritual family here. And that we actually feel like we're family and that we're connected to one another. All right, what else did he give us? He gave us righteousness in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. He said we have received the abundance of grace and the what? Help me out, you guys know the Bible verses. The gift of righteousness. Would that be a good gift? Actually, spiritual gifts are better than physical gifts. Okay, it's fun to give physical gifts, amen? You know, I'm not a Black Friday shopper, but we were up at our son's the day after Thanksgiving, and, you know, Caitlin had work, so we just brought Luke to Dick's, and he wanted hockey skates, so we picked out his hockey skates. He picked them out. I like things simple. Guess what? Your Christmas shopping is done for Luke, amen? Go to Costco right after that, and she wants perfume. She's not going to listen to the sermon before she gets it. But anyway, you know, she gets her perfume, amen? I like things simple. I come here and I need to get Deb a Christmas gift. So Deb was actually right here in front of us. I said, Jenny, go on the computer, hit this button, whatever. Don't have to tell her. She hits the button and orders the gift, and the gift came on Friday. Amen. I'm off the hook. Everything's all done. Amen. Are you guys good? All right. So we celebrate family. We celebrate gifts. But anyway, back to the true gifts. Romans 5:17, you've received the gift of righteousness. That's an amazing gift. Can you imagine now that you have right standing with God? That you have peace with God. You've been justified. You're part of the family of God. These spiritual gifts are way better than physical gifts. I love physical gifts, amen? I order myself a couple Christmas gifts every year, amen? I told Jenny, make sure you check the mail when I'm gone. I got a couple coming, amen? Anyway, you guys forgive me for all that stuff, don't you? All right, let's go to the next page as far as your notes. What are some other things that God has given us? Amen? Well, it says there that he gave you 7,000 promises. Those are 7,000 gifts that God wants you to unwrap. You know what? If somebody gave you a gift and you didn't unwrap it, it's not much good, amen? If he's got 7,000 promises in the Bible and you don't believe those promises, if you don't unwrap those things, if you don't apply those things in your life, you can miss out on all 7,000 of those promises. There's more than 7,000. I want to receive every gift that he has for me. All right, let's go on to point number two. Before I do that, I'll quote one more verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from where? Father of lights, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes from our Heavenly Father, our Father of all lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow turns. So the best gifts come from God, all right? We get physical life from God. We get spiritual life from God. We get righteousness from God. We get to be part of his family. All of that comes from God. So the best gifts, you know, unwrap every gift that God has for you this Christmas season. Amen? All right, so point number two we're going to look at. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Let's go ahead and read a couple passages in this message today. Philippians 2, it's going to be up there so you can look there as well. I really do like for you to bring your Bible or a tablet or whatever you use so you can also follow along with the notes right in front of you. But let's go ahead and read that before we get into point two. So have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. He existed in the form of God. Now you think, what are you reading these verses for? This is for Good Friday and Easter. Well, you know what? When I think about the birth of Jesus, my mind immediately skips to Good Friday and the resurrection, amen? So I love to celebrate the birth of Jesus. I love babies, but I want to get to the meat of it, of what really happened because Jesus came, and this talks about it. So can you imagine yourself being God? Okay, we're glad you're not. Okay, because you'd probably zap a few people, wouldn't you? Come on, wouldn't you? If you had a little power of God, you could do a few things. Ever those thoughts ever cross your mind, or am I the only one? Don't give me that. I'm not the only one. But anyway, so Philippians chapter 2. So he's God, and we studied this in Sunday school. Brad, that was amazing. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Amen? Amen? So God existed, Jesus existed with the Trinity, up with the Father, up in heaven. We studied last week that everything that came into being through creation was also through the hand of Jesus. So Jesus was involved with all that. The Father was too, and so was the Holy Spirit. But he existed in the form of God, but he didn't regard equality with God something to be grasped. So here's something we can learn about the Christmas story. He is God, but he's willing to become man. Isn't that awesome? If you were God, were you willing to become man? All of a sudden, now you're going to be subject to sin. You're going to be subject to sickness. You're going to be subject to death because he laid aside his divinity. When that word emptied there in the Greek is kenosis, that means even though he always was God, it's hard to understand that concept, he laid aside his divinity, and even though he was fully God, he became fully man. And as a man, he could be tempted. As a man, he could have sinned. As a man, he needed to be anointed with the Holy Ghost. As a man, he needed to hear what the Father told him to do. As a man, he had to draw strength from the Holy Spirit and his Heavenly Father all of the time, amen? But he did that so he could be a perfect example for us, so he could say, hey, it's possible. I did it as a man. I'm going to come and live in you, and I'm going to make it possible for you. But he emptied himself. This is huge. This is the story of Christmas. He wasn't born in some, you know, five-star hotel. I think God had it all arranged. He knew that he was going to be born in a manger so that everybody would have access to the Son of Man and the Son of God. Amen? Not just for the high rollers, not just for the rich people. Jesus was going to be accessible for every single person. And that's an amazing, I believe that's an important part of the Christmas story. He humbled himself, took on the form of man, and then we know that he died and he was resurrected so he could come and live his life in us. Amen? All right, so what did Jesus do for us? In Matthew 20, and this is an amazing Bible verse, I quote it all the time. It said, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. So I believe you can celebrate Christmas every day. I believe you can celebrate Christmas all year round. I try to celebrate Christmas every single day. Here's just a little joke. It's not funny, but laugh anyway, amen? If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd have Christmas every day. Does anybody ever have ifs and buts and excuses? Come on, it's just a little rhyme. All right, but actually, you can have Christmas every day. If you celebrate the life of Jesus that we're celebrating in December, you can celebrate that life every single day. And then what I want to do, and I don't always pass this test, but I want to live the life like Jesus and live a life of a servant and life of giving every single day. When I get up in the morning, not all the mornings, and I'm not very good at the house. My wife would not at this one. She did all that stuff, whatever. But I want to wake up and say, how can I make a difference in somebody's life today? How can I bless somebody? How can I celebrate Christmas today by living Jesus that I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give a life as a ransom? How can I give my life? Amen? You know, most times I end up doing something that I really enjoy. People might think, well, it's work. Well, no, it's not work when you get to operate a chainsaw and you get to be with Pete and you get to be with BJ and you get to be with Chris and Tom Sr. and where's the guy who cut all the trees down back there? Whatever, all those, whatever. Why would I share that story? Because you know what? Every single day, whether it's a Saturday, whether it's a work day or whatever, I want to wake up with the mentality that my life is meant to be a blessing. It's not about what I can get. I do like ordering myself a couple Christmas presents. Whatever, I'm being bad. I shouldn't even say it that way, amen? But the truth of the matter is, we should live to give. It's more blessed to give than receive. It is true. You know, as kids, you know, when all your kids and grandkids or greats are opening the gifts, I mean, you have a blast when you see their face and they open that gift, don't you? I mean, you get as much joy out of it, amen? I mean, when we're with Luke at Dick's and we knew he wanted hockey skates and that was going to be his Christmas gift and part of his birthday gift as well, but whatever, all right? But to see the joy, and he is amazingly thankful and appreciative for any gift that we ever give him. And now that makes you want to give more gifts, amen? When people are thankful. And that's the same way with God. If you express your thanksgiving to God when he gives you good things, you know what he's going to do? He's going to give you another gift. If you complain about the one that he gave, he might not give you so many. Amen? So we give. It's just a blessing to give. Let's look at some more examples of what Jesus did as far as a giver. They're all in front of you on your notes. You can go home and read them later as well. But what did Jesus do? John 15, He laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for the sheep in John 10. Let me just go through them quickly. In Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. Can you imagine being sick for 12 years in a row and bleeding every single day? And I think she was unclean, wasn't she, because of that blood sickness? 12 years. Spent everything she had. Went to all the doctors, spent all the money she had, and didn't get better. Came to Jesus and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Jesus is a giver. Jesus is always looking to bless. Jesus is always looking to heal. Jesus is always looking to bring life. She touched just the hem of Jesus' garment, and she's made well. Amen? 10 lepers, he said, just go show yourself to the priest. And as they did, they were well. They were healed. Amen? So he's constantly giving. Even, you know, I think Jesus knew ahead of time that Lazarus was going to die. Okay? And he would, you know, this is just me paraphrasing here. But you know what? He waited. How many days did he wait? Did he wait 4 days, didn't he? Okay? Until the body was good and stinking. Amen? All right? But Jesus wanted to always give. He always wanted to give life. He went there, and guess what? He was hurting because they were hurting. He saw Mary. He saw Martha. They were crying, whatever, because they missed their brother. And what did the Bible say? The shortest verse in the Bible. What does it say? Jesus cried. Jesus wept. Amen? But he also had compassion, and then he raised Lazarus from the dead. He's always looking to bring blessing and bring life into our life. The centurion, he healed the centurion's, amen? He said, don't come under my roof. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Centurion said, just to Jesus, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. So Jesus was always blessing people. Jesus was always giving life. Obviously, the greatest thing he ever did was he laid down his life for us. And we'll look at that verse a little bit later in 1 John. Let's go on to point number 3. So what gifts have you received, and what gifts are you giving? So once again, I've shared a little bit already, but the greatest gift that I ever received was on one special night on July 31st. I was born again. I was born into the kingdom of God. And actually, God came to live on the inside of me. And if you're born again, and if you've asked Jesus into your life, and you've made him the Lord of your life, that's exactly where God abides. You're now the address of God. He's on the inside of you, amen? So in him, you can live and move and have your being, because he actually wants to live his life through you. You just make yourself available, and he'll live his life through you, amen? All right, thank you, Lord. That same night, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you guys didn't know it, you should know it by now. We're a Pentecostal church, all right? If you being evil, and you're not, but if you being earthly and natural know how to give good gifts to your children, and you do, right? You know, either Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or whenever, your kids are excited that you bought them some kind of gift, amen? So if you, being earthly or a human dad or parent, know how to give good gifts to your children, the Bible says, how much more will a Heavenly Father give good gifts? And I want to unwrap every gift that God has for me. And one of those gifts is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Same verse or same context of that verse says in Luke 11, verse 13, if you being natural, evil, earthly, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will a Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit. Okay, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you. But I don't want just the Holy Spirit resident. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me this morning? Can you imagine if Jesus said to his disciples, don't even think about going out into all the world and doing ministry until you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. If it was that important to Jesus to tell his apostles, don't you think it would be important for us today? Now I got all kinds of people look at me, well, I don't understand that tongues. Well, the truth of the matter is, either do I. Yes, come on, you guys, you can smile, amen? Doesn't matter. For all those years that I've been born again, I pray in tongues all, you know, all the time. Not out loud very much, you don't hear it very much, but it's a prayer language where I get to develop my relationship with the Holy Spirit, where he's not just resident, but he's president, and he gets to lead me and guide me and heal me and comfort me and give me peace, and everything that the Holy Spirit brings, he can bring in a special way as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So not only that day did I get born again, but I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. As a little 12-year-old kid, I didn't understand it, but I was speaking in a language that I've never spoke before, and that is a good gift, amen? That's the gift of not only just being born again, but it's the gift of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So God's got amazing gifts. So I received both of those gifts. Hopefully I'm going to use every one of those gifts till I meet Jesus and up in the rapture and the second coming, amen? Look at your notes. Follow with me, if you would, please. You guys have not been raising your hands very good. Raise your hands. That means I'm going to slow down. All right. What are the gifts? God gave me a gift sometimes. He gave the gift to the church in Ephesians 4. What is one of the gifts he gave to the church? A pastor. Apostles, prophet, pastors, evangelists, teachers. One of the gifts he gave to the church. And I believe that that gift was given to me. This is absolutely amazing. I didn't know what it was going to look like, but all through my teenage years, I got born again when I was 12, all the way from 13 to 19, I felt, and this is for you guys as well, you're missionary kids. Everybody can get the call of God. But I felt that call of God my whole entire teenage years. Didn't know what that meant, whether it was a missionary, I went to a missionary school at first, or a youth pastor, or what it meant. I didn't know what it meant. But I felt God speaking to me that I was going to be in the ministry. All right, I really didn't even know I was going to pastor until I saw the whatever it was for the first church that I pastored was looking for a pastor. And I said, well, I can do that. Well, I'm not sure, but anyway, I did. 24 years old, whatever. But I believe that God, you know, he gives gifts. But you know what? There's a lot of weaknesses, and you could get up and share about the weaknesses of your pastor, all right? But one of the gifts I believe that God has given me is give a gift of pastoring. There's things, obviously, a pastor can improve at, but there's an anointing and a gift that God can give you for ministry. And one of those gifts that he gives is to be a pastor. He gives the same gift, even though the wives don't always fully understand it. That gift and anointing has to be on the pastor's wife because it's probably harder to be a pastor's wife than it is to be a pastor. Okay? Don't get offended, but you know what? They usually hear all the things that you say bad about the pastor. You guys still love me when I say stuff like that? Okay? And it affects them a whole lot more than it usually does the pastor. Okay, that was for free. That wasn't in my notes, amen? That was for somebody, whatever, amen? You guys with me this morning? We have different gifts, and we want to use those gifts in a great way. What are some other gifts that we might have? Gift of children. All right, I told Luke when he got married that day, I said, you got 9 months. He looked at me and said, Dad, we're on the 5-year plan. I'm sorry, anyway. But you know what? When we become grandparents, I'm looking forward to that day already. As much as we love Luke, I'm looking forward to spoiling the grandkid, amen? Okay, gift of family. I get to celebrate with my son, my wife, daughter-in-law, Deb's family, my family the next 3 days. I am really looking forward to celebrating with family. Look at your notes there so you can follow with me. The gift of discipleship. Okay? Now, we don't always see it on Sunday morning because most of these kids don't come on Sunday morning, but we had at least 24 kids in Deb Forsagen's class, about right there in my close, aren't I? 23, 24 in her class on Wednesday night, and my wife is doing the middle school class, and she had 14 kids. So we want to get those kids to be coming on Sunday morning, but until they get there, we're reaching them with the love of Jesus. We're reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe there's some kids that are going to grow up out of this, all these groups that we're part of, that are going to go into the ministry, and if they don't go into the ministry, they're going to change the world. They're going to be world changers because we became involved. And that's the gift of discipleship, amen? Christianity is not just for you. If you want to know how to not enjoy your Christianity, keep it to yourself. That's a good way just to not enjoy you being a Christian. Because the greatest gifts are meant to be given away. I always tell you the same story every Christmas, probably one of the best spiritual Christmases I ever had. I didn't receive a gift. I spent 3 months as a missionary kid in Jamaica living with an overseer and a pastor who had 12 churches, let me preach in all the churches. And that day, I'm not sure how many kids, I can't remember any of their names, but when I get to heaven and they play the video, all the people that got saved through the ministry that I did during my life, it's going to be pretty fun to look at those 12 kids that I led to Jesus on that Christmas day. Amen. The greatest gift you can have is meant to be given away. It's not to be kept to yourself. You have the best, everything, everybody in this world is looking for life. They're looking for hope. They're looking for peace. They're looking for love. And guess what? It's all found in Jesus. Amen? What other gifts have we received and what other gifts can we give? So, Deb, thank you for what you did. I'll be able to ride high on what I saw Wednesday night with all those kids. Almost, 38 kids here enjoying, obviously they enjoyed a Christmas party, but we're getting to touch and influence them for Jesus. In your notes, it's the story of the shovel. Captain Levy, a believer from Philadelphia, once asked how he could give so much of the Lord's work, give to the Lord's work, and still possess great wealth. He said, well, I shovel it out, and he shoveled it in, and guess what? The Lord has a bigger shovel than I do. Okay. Can you guys hang with me as I read two stories here? This is gifts that you've received, but also gifts that you can give. All right? So this is Pooh and Piglet. Everybody familiar with these two characters? Okay, they hadn't heard from Eeyore for several days. Okay, and we're going to get to the last point in today is how am I going to apply this? This is a story that you can apply to your life because you know what? December and the Christmas season is not always merry and cheerful for everybody, amen? All right, so they put on their hats and their coats. They trot across the 100-acre woods to Eeyore's stick house. Inside the house was Eeyore. Hello, Eeyore, said Pooh. Hello, Pooh, said Piglet. Said Eeyore in a glum-sounding voice. We just thought we'd check in on you. Hey, there's a good idea for Christmas. Not only Christmas, but how about every month of the year? Why don't you check in on somebody, amen? Do you realize how difficult life is for a lot of people? Actually, it's difficult for everybody, amen? But if we'd be like this, it'd be a lot easier. We just thought we'd check in on you, said Piglet, because we hadn't heard from you. And so we wanted to know if you're okay. Eeyore was silent for a moment. Am I okay? He asked eventually. Well, I don't know, to be honest. Are any of us really okay? Anyway, that's what I asked myself. All I can tell you, Pooh and Piglet, is that right now I feel really rather sad and alone and not much fun to be around at all, which is why I haven't bothered you, because you wouldn't want to waste your time hanging out with somebody who's sad and alone and not much fun to be around at all, would you now? Pooh looked, and Piglet looked at Pooh, and they both sat down, one on the other side of Eeyore in the stick house. Eeyore looked at them in surprise. What are you doing? We're sitting here with you, said Pooh, because we are your friends. Hey, that's what a friend does, amen? That's the true meaning of Christmas, amen? Just don't look for your own interest. Look at the interest of others. And true friends don't care if someone is feeling sad or alone or not that much fun to be around at all. True friends are there for you anyway. And so here we are. Oh, said Eeyore, oh. And the three of them sat there in silence, and while Pooh and Piglet said nothing at all, somehow, almost, big word, Eeyore started to feel a very little bit better because Pooh and Piglet were there, no more, no less. Amen? Is that a good story? Amazing? How about this Christmas season, we don't just worry about what gifts we can receive, let's worry about what other gifts we can give away. You guys ready for one more story here? This is about a 10-year-old girl. Her name is Riley Christensen. Okay, good name. And her mother, Lynn. They're huddled in front of the family computer checking on models and prices for bikes. They're going to get a bike for dad or for the husband for Christmas. As Christensen rolled down through the homepage of the bike rack, a shop in their town of St. Charles, Illinois, a video link was Project Mobility caught their eye. She clicked on it out of curiosity. The clip told how bike rack co-owner Hal. Maybe I'll just paraphrase this, all right? Or you guys can hang with me. Can you hang with me? All right. So he was raising money through his bike shop, whatever, to give special needs bikes to those that it's just not a normal bike. So when they saw this, they saw all the happy faces of those people that couldn't ride a bike normally, accident victims, injured veterans, children with disabilities, including Hal's own son who had born with cerebral palsy. I'm going to buy a bike, Riley. This is a 10-year-old kid. I'm going to buy a bike for one of those kids. 2 days later, she showed Christensen a letter that she had written asking for donations. I think it's amazing for a guy, the owner of the bike shop, to make bikes for kids who can't walk and they can't ride a normal bike. I saw how happy that boy was, you know, on the site there that had received a bike, and I want to be a part of this. But the cost of one of those bikes sometimes is up to $4,000. A 10-year-old kid is probably going to have trouble coming up with $4,000. But he wrote the letter, sent it out to 75 relatives and friends, and within 3 days, checks and cash starts arriving. Then word got out of what Riley was trying to do. And as Christmas neared, more and more donations rolled in, and this little 10-year-old girl raised $12,000. Enough to buy 7 bikes. So last Christmas Eve, Riley put on a Santa hat and delivered bicycles to 3 of those. Can you imagine being there that day when you get to deliver a bike to maybe a kid that has cerebral palsy or whatever disability that they have, and now for the first time, they're going to be able to ride a bike. So the 3 that I'm going to share today was a 13-year-old girl. She had spina bifida. Jenny, a 15-year-old girl, she had cerebral palsy, and Rose, a 4-year-old girl with a rare genetic disorder. What do you think she said about that Christmas when she described Christmas? She didn't talk about any gifts that she had. She said, "This is the best Christmas I've ever had in my life." Here's a little kid, Riley, and I'm not even sure that, you know, it's got a Christian message in it, whether it probably was a Christian, but whatever. It was just like they realized that life is just not about what I can get for myself. It's about what I can give away. Amen? And yes, have a blast Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or whenever you exchange gifts or whatever gifts you have. But let's realize that the best gifts that you have are spiritual gifts, and let's share Jesus with other people. Amen? If you look at your notes, I've said that a few times today, I'm just going to share of how you guys bless me, all right? We got somebody right now, a couple people. I'm blessed every single week when I realize that you're willing to do a special needs Sunday school class. That is amazing. When we have somebody, and they're going to go to Arizona, so they have already got a recruit, all right? But can you imagine cooking for between 40 to 50 to 60 people every single Wednesday? That's blessed. You realize that life is just not about what I can get. It's about what you can give away. Amen? Here's a little plug for that. And I know Bob's going to be able to handle it just fine. But you know what? Look for ways that you can serve. Amen? Okay? Whether it's cutting wood on a few Saturday mornings. Amen? Whether it's going Christmas caroling. You want me to be truthful? Sometimes on Sunday afternoon when I get done with church, I'm a little bit tired. I just want to go home and watch part of the Packer game. Or whatever game's on, whatever. Sorry, Brad. Not going to watch that team very much. But unless I'm going to your house to get pie, and then I'm all in. Anyway, but last Sunday afternoon, I was tired. I'm just being honest with you right now. Wasn't sure I really want. You know what? It's not about me. You know what? And yes, Mark and I, every room that we went to at the Heartland House, we check on the Packers score. But anyway, all right. But when I saw the face of every home that we, every home, every apartment, whatever it was that we went in and we sang those songs and we started singing, all the people came out in the hallways. And you know what? We made their day that day. That might have been the best day that they had last week because actually somebody actually showed that they might actually care. So how can you live the story of Christmas, whether it's ringing the bell? Once again, you know, I had already signed up to ring the bell. I went to ring the bell a couple hours each day at Stone Ridge. And, you know, I missed out on Marcia's Christmas party, but that's okay because it's not just about being with another Christmas party. It's figuring out what I can do to bless somebody else. I might not have the exact figures, but the Salvation Army and all those people that ring bell, when you go ring the bell, they raise about $32,000 a year. And you know what they do? From this date, January 1st, till next December 1st, they're going to give away $32,000, so they're going to need you to come back next December 1st and ring that bell for a whole month so they can restock that $32,000 and then just give it all out again, amen? If you're involved in any form of community service, the best part of being a part of that is you get to serve people, amen? I didn't look as when I start, but let's close in prayer. So, Father, point number one, we thank you, Jesus, that you are an amazing giver. And God, you gave us the best gift that was ever given to mankind, and that was the gift of eternal life. It was the gift of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you gave us the greatest gift. You're willing to die. You're willing to lay down our life. You laid down your life for us that we might be born again and be saved. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you gave us Jesus. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you set a perfect example for us of how we can be givers. But Father, we don't want to just learn about God and learn about Jesus or learn about other people. We want to say, how can this change me? And I want to be a Christmas giver and a Christmas liver every single day of my life. We believe your promise that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Lord, and we are going to give, and it's going to be given back unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Father. And Father, help us to celebrate Christmas in a special way, not only this week, but every week, by following your example and serving other people and loving other people and giving gifts of time and service to them. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.